We're back, as you can tell, and I'm joined now by travel journalist Bonnie Neely, and she's reported on a Destination Worldview feature today, and Bonnie's going to chat with us about Rome in the shoulder season. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning. It's great to talk with you again.
Always wonderful with you as well, Bonnie. But before we get into your article on Rome, I'm wondering if you could just take a moment to explain to our listeners the term shoulder season.
It's the season that is not peak for tourism and often has the nicest weather and the fewest crowds. So it's a very nice season to go, and the prices are lower than they are in the peak season.
Right, and it's just before the low season, which it tends to be, I guess, what, winter in the case of Rome.
Yes, in Rome it would be winter.
So shoulder season would be when?
Now and in the spring as well.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Mm-hmm. We went in the spring, and we were determined to do Rome as the Romans do it, instead of as tourists on a tour, because so many people who take tours just hit a few of the highlights in Rome, and Rome, the imperial city, needs far more time than most tours give it.
Where'd you find the togas?
truly, we found them at the Forum and in the Colosseum, and I was surprised. I asked if I could have my picture made with one of the gladiators, and he said, sure. And while Bill was turning on the camera, he scooped me up in his arms and picked me up and held me there for a picture in front of all the tourists, and I was embarrassed.
That's terrific.
But it was fun.
Now, you were there for 10 days, weren't you?
Yes, we were.
I mean, that's the whole thing. Unfortunately, Americans, and I can't generalize, of course, but tend to try to squeeze in 11 cities in 10 days.
We've all experienced that. You don't know what you saw where.
Exactly. And so then you go back, and then you say, I'm going to do like the Europeans do. Well, they get a lot longer vacations than we do. They get 6 weeks vacation a year. So when they go to a destination, they go for 2 or 3 weeks. Now, they may do more than one city when they come to Florida, as you well know. They do the Disney thing and then travel around. But the key is what you did. You went only to Rome, and you spent 10 days there, and you lived there for real.
Yes, and it was really a challenge and an experience. We don't speak Italian. We have a little Latin and Spanish and Portuguese, but no Italian.
Well, Italians only speak with their hands anyway, so that should be easy, right?
Yes, that works well. But thank goodness they don't pinch these days. They have really cleaned up their act and cleaned up their country. It's beautifully clean everywhere you go. Even the restrooms, but I'll have to say that the water, turning on water, was a challenge in any of the public restrooms. We Americans would stand there waving our hands or clapping our hands to try to make something electronic work.
Right.
And there were no faucets to turn and no handles to turn. And finally, we realized when we were in one that had several people in it, that you push a foot pedal to make the faucet come on. And that was quite an experience.
I can remember the first time I had one here in the States where you had to put your hands under the faucet to make it work. I was baffled by it.
Right, but I do recommend that people take little hand cleaners with them because they don't have soap and paper towels in most of the restaurants.
Yeah, handy wipes are always good. Now, you say the elegant Grand Hotel, Parco del Principe, in Rome, don't ever consider staying anywhere else. Now, that's a very strong statement, Bonnie.
If you can afford it, and it's worth saving for at least one night splurge there. It's the best hotel in Rome, and it is above Borghese Park and Museum and Gallery, which is one of the highlights to see, and it's in a very lovely neighborhood. And it is like staying in someone's elegant palace or home. It is just beyond description beautiful.
And, of course, in the shoulder season, even though it's expensive, it would be a little bit less expensive.
Many tours, and, they cater to business travelers, and so there are rates for conventions and things like that. And then they have some specials that you can be lucky enough to go into. And the restaurant there, surprisingly, was much lower in cost than many of the others that we saw in the center around the Vatican, and the food was fantastic, and the service beautiful, and the surroundings exquisite. I highly recommend it. It's a member of the great hotels of the world.
Right, and breakfast is included, which is always nice, you know, because I always get upset with breakfast. Even in a standard hotel, you go in and they end up spending $10-$12 for breakfast.
Yeah.
And to me, I don't like to start the day. I'd rather have it included in my room rate so I don't see it.
Yes, and in many of the European hotels, from 3-star to 5-star luxury, we have discovered now they offer a full breakfast, which is international, and that means you have salad and fish and everything
rather than what used to be the continental breakfast.
Right, and that was true in the Principe Hotel, is that they had a full breakfast and in beautiful surroundings. I highly recommend staying there, and then if you're on a moderate budget, we recommend the Aurelia Antica, which was an apartment hotel, and that's where we stayed for about a week.
Uh-huh.
It is just past the Vatican from the main tourism area, and the drawback is if you don't have a car, you must ride the bus in. The buses were very easy to take,
mm-hmm.
And we were in walking distance, sort of a scary walk because it was a busy street, but to pretty much anything we needed to get.
I find in most countries, I mean, I won't say all countries, but in most countries, the public transportation is pretty good.
Yes, and in Rome it's exceptionally good. I recommend getting the ATAC transport pass. As soon as you get there, almost all transportation arrives at Termini Center,
uh-huh.
and the tourism center is just a block from there. And you should go there first to get maps and guidebooks that are in any language, and you can even hire a guide there if you want to. But you can get your ATAC transport pass there. And it is good for buses, trolleys, and metros, and it's a very good value.
So you don't have to buy it here before you leave?
No, you can order it on the Internet. And my website gives some of the places where you can order these things. And the first thing that I recommend seeing if you're going to be there a while is the new museum called Crypto Balbi. And it's one block from the Palazzo Venezia, which is, of course, very famous.
Right.
But this is a new museum in the last couple of years. They spent 20 years developing this museum to explain to people the ancient historic ruins and to help you identify visually what period of history you're looking at when you go to all the other ruins and all the other historic places you see in Rome. This museum is actually built on the site of a first century Roman city that was within Rome. It was called a Roman theater where they had a commerce center.
Mm-hmm.
And they've excavated 1,000 years of a city dump to learn a lot there.
My Lord.
But they have these wonderful displays in English and in Italian, and they have guides in any language that will help orient you for seeing all the historical sites throughout Rome and Italy. And it really helps because you learn to look for the clues in the bricks and the foundations as to what period you're looking at.
Well, that's interesting. What else did you... you were there 10 days. Give me some other highlights.
Well, the other thing that we found very helpful was when we bought our ticket for Crypto Balbi, we could buy it with archaeological ticket, which is good for 3 days in any of the archaeological sites.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also get on and off the archaeology bus, which takes you to the various things like the Forum and the Colosseum and the traditional historic sites that you really want to see. So it's a very good value to purchase it that way.
Again, you got that there, right?
Yes, we got it there. You can get it at any of the archaeological sites, so get it at the first one that you go to. We are very interested in art and music,
right.
And we were just blown away with the incredible paintings of Caravaggio and the sculptures of Bernini, which we saw in so many places. And, of course, everyone wants to go to the Vatican and the Borghese Museums. They are just musts, where you see a lot of art, well, unbelievable amount of art, 4 miles of it in the Vatican.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It really is. But of course, that's what we read the most about or always see, so I was trying to highlight the other things that were of interest in the Borghese Park, where the museum is, and that's like Central Park for Rome. There's a wonderful experience that you can have for a nominal price. It's a hot air balloon ride, which is different from most hot air balloons in the United States. They're, $300 or $400 and keep you up for an hour and you really go all over the place. This one is actually tethered to the ground, and you go up for several hundred feet, and you get wonderful views of Rome, and it lasts about 30 minutes.
Oh, so it just goes straight up.
It just goes straight up, but
right.
You really get some good overviews and get oriented, and it's good for photographs and just a fun experience.
Right. In fact, I hadn't seen that before until Bob Fisher and I were up for the TMS show up in Niagara. And they had one there, which took you way, you know, just went straight up, and it gave you a great view of the falls.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet that was wonderful.
It was great. Falls. Now, you're talking about artwork, and there's one thing you mentioned about a piece of artwork at the restaurant.
Yes.
At the hotel, I thought was kind of interesting.
The restaurant at the hotel,
Parco.
Parco de Principe, is called the Princess. I mean, it's called Paulina Borghese Restaurant.
Right.
And there's a beautiful reclining nude as their symbol. And this statue of the reclining nude is actually in the Borghese Museum Gallery. And it was Napoleon Bonaparte's sister, Paulina,
right.
who caused a huge scandal by posing in the nude.
I love it.
And then the man who bought the bought the statue was the Borghese heir.
Right.
And he later married her.
Terrific.
So it was very interesting to see the beautiful sculpture.
It's kind of the hard way to get a husband in those days, I should think, but interesting nonetheless.
Sure was. And then I must mention the opera in the operas around Rome.
Right.
If you're fortunate enough to be able to go to the Teatro della Opera, of course that is the supreme experience, but it's also very expensive. And their opera season is quite long. I think it lasts through most of the months of the year because opera is such an important thing in all of Italy. But if you can't afford to go to the main opera house, you must try to go to the nominally priced ones that are in various churches throughout Rome. They're in the Anglican churches two nights a week. And it's a nominal price from $12 to about $30. And you can buy the tickets sometimes, often at the last minute. The acoustics are marvelous and the surroundings are beautiful. And they use the professional opera troupes, the professional opera singers and the symphony players from around Italy. It's just a wonderful experience.
That's terrific, Bonnie. Now, for those who are listening, you can go to Bonnie's site, which is www.realtraveladventures.com, or go to our site, and there's a link to it there. Bonnie, I've got to run, and we've got to go to break. And
thank you
as always, it's a pleasure, and you're certainly welcome.
Well,